Hello and welcome to your GCSE English Language Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most exciting parts of your exam, fiction and imaginative writing. This component asks you to do two brilliant things. First, to read a piece of 19th century prose fiction and analyze the writer's craft with real skill and precision. And second, to produce your own imaginative writing that genuinely engages the reader. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdXL, OCR, or WJEC, the core skills we're covering today apply to you. By the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what examiners are looking for, how to structure your responses, and the most common mistakes to avoid. Let's get started. Let's begin with the reading section. Specifically, how to analyze the writer's craft in an unseen 19th century prose extract. The most important thing to understand is this. Examiners are not rewarding you for spotting techniques. They are rewarding you for explaining the effect of those techniques on the reader. This is the single biggest difference between a level 2 and a level 4 response. So what's the framework? Think pale point, evidence analysis, link. Point. Name the technique. For example, the writer uses a metaphor. Evidence, embed a short, precise quotation. Don't copy out huge chunks of text. Pick 3 to 5 words that are doing the most work. Analysis. This is the crucial part. Explain what effect that technique creates. Ask yourself, what does this make the reader feel, think, or imagine? What does it suggest? What connotations does it carry? Connect your analysis back to the question focus. If the question asks how the writer creates tension, your link should reference tension. Now let's talk about the language features you need to know. Metaphors and similes are the obvious ones, but don't stop there. Think about pathetic fallacy, where weather or nature reflects a character's emotional state. Think about personification, where non-human things are given human qualities. Sibilance, that's the repetition of soft S sounds, creates a hissing, sinister, or whispering effect. Alliteration draws attention to key words and can create rhythm or emphasis. Juxtaposition places contrasting ideas side by side to highlight a difference. And semantic fields, groups of words from the same category, can build up a sustained atmosphere. For 19th century prose specifically, you'll often encounter formal, elevated diction. That means sophisticated, sometimes old-fashioned vocabulary. You'll find long, complex sentences that build up layers of description. And you'll frequently see moral or religious vocabulary because Victorian writers were deeply concerned with questions of right and wrong. Now let's move on to structure. Structure questions are often answered poorly because students focus only on language. Structure is about how the text is organized, not what words are used. Think about, how does the text open? Does it start in the middle of the action, what we call in media res, or does it begin with slow atmospheric description? Where does the focus shift? Does the narrative zoom in from a wide view to a close-up detail? Are there changes in narrative perspective? Does the pace speed up or slow down? Are there patterns, repetition, cyclical structure where the ending echoes the beginning? These are all structural choices, and examiners want you to explain why the writer made them. Now, the writing section. Your imaginative writing task is your chance to show off the images or prompts you're given are a starting point, not a cage. Use them to spark your ideas. Then let your imagination take over. The most important principle in creative writing is show, don't tell. Instead of writing, she was frightened, show us the fear. Write, her fingers gripped the doorframe, knuckles pale as bone. That's far more powerful and examiners will credit it. Use all 5 senses. Sight is the obvious one, but smell, sound, touch, and taste can be even more evocative. A single, well-chosen sensory detail can transport your reader completely. Vary your sentence structures deliberately. A short sentence, it creates impact. Then a longer, more flowing sentence can build atmosphere and carry the reader forward on a wave of description, pulling them deeper into the world you've created. Use both. Your opening must hook the reader immediately. Start with a striking image, a fragment of dialogue, a question, or throw us straight into the action. Your ending should feel satisfying. It doesn't need to be a neat resolution, but it should feel deliberate. A cyclical ending, where you return to an image or phrase from your opening, is a technique examiners consistently reward. Finally, plan your writing before you start. Even 5 minutes of planning will make your piece more coherent, more structured, and more controlled. Examiners can always tell when a piece has been planned, right? Let's talk about the mistakes that cost students marks every single year. Mistake number one, feature spotting without analysis. Writing, the writer uses a simile and then moving on earns you almost nothing. You must explain the effect. Always ask yourself, so what? Why does this matter? What does it make the reader feel? Mistake number two, copying out long quotations. Short embedded quotations are far more impressive. If you're quoting more than 10 words, you're probably quoting too much. Pick the three or four words that are doing the most work and weave them into your own sentence. Mistake number three, in creative writing, inconsistent point of view. If you start in first person, stay in first person. If you start in third person, stay there. Switching mid-piece is a significant technical error. Mistake number four, over-relying on the image prompt. The image is a springboard, not a script. The best creative writing takes inspiration from the image and then builds its own world. Don't just describe what you see. Use it to launch something original. Mistake number five, not proofreading. Spelling, punctuation, and grammar carry marks in the writing section. Leave yourself at least 5 minutes at the end to read back through your work. A well-placed semicolon or a correctly used colon will signal to the examiner that you have genuine technical control. One more tip. In your analysis responses, use subject-specific terminology confidently. Words like semantic field, syntactic structure, narrative perspective, and connotations signal to the examiner that you're operating at the higher levels of the mark scheme. Okay, quick fire quiz time. I'll ask a question, you think of the answer, then I'll give it to you. Ready? Question one, what does PEA stand for? Answer, point, evidence, analysis, link. Question two, what is pathetic fallacy? Answer, when weather or nature reflects a character's emotional state. Question three, name two structural features you could analyze. Answer, any two from cyclical structure in media residential opening, shifts in focus, changes in pace, narrative perspective, flashback, or foreshadowing. Question four, what is the key principle of creative writing that means you describe actions and sensations rather than stating emotions directly? Answer, show, don't tell. Question five, what are the five senses you should try to incorporate in descriptive writing? Answer, sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. Well done if you got those right. Let's bring it all together. For the reading section, remember, always analyze the effect of language and structure, not just identify the technique. Use peel to structure every paragraph. Embed short, precise quotations. And for 19th century prose, look for formal diction, complex sentences, and moral themes. For the writing section, plan first, always. Hook your reader from the very first line, show, don't tell, use all five senses, vary your sentence length deliberately, and proofread at the end. The skills you build in this component will serve you across your entire English language exam. The more you practice reading analytically and writing creatively, the more natural it becomes. You've got this. Keep practicing, keep reading, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck!